Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
First Samuel 8, give us a king. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel. The name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in the ways, his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they have done from that day, I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day, you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "No, but there shall be a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey their voice and make them a king." Samuel then said to the men of Israel, "Go every man to his city." Sadly, here at the beginning of this passage, we see generational failure. Gideon's sons failed. Eli's priestly sons fail. Samuel's sons fail. We're going to find several of David's sons failing significantly. And there's a setting up for a new appointment to lead the people. The people declare, "Give us a king." The reasoning that they declare twice is, "We want to be like all the nations." There's a shift in confidence happening here. One of the subtexts of Genesis is, will we allow the Lord to give us a name, or will we try to make a name for ourselves? And now the people are shifting their confidence from God to an earthly leader. Samuel's displeased and he prays, and God says, "Go ahead and give them a king." Samuel warns them that this is going to be ominous for them. Kings are overlording, using their power. You can hear one word in this, taxes. And in this process, Samuel giving them warning sets up one of the main principles that will be a model for kings from that time forward. There's a word play that happens in the Hebrew. There's a sounding resemblance to the word justice and judge. This phrase that's repeated, "ways of the king," is actually the Hebrew word mishpat. It's the practicing of justice, of doing what's right in society. Eugene Peterson sums it this way: "Kings, from the perspective of Israel storytellers, were to be remembered for how well or how ill they represent God's kingship. Are they carriers of God's mishpat in the world? And we know it's a mixed bag moving forward. If you look at this passage in comparison to the previous one, you get to see our so what. When the people are desperate, they cry out to God for help. But when the people are comfortable, they feel like they can dictate the way to God. Give us a king. And when I say the people, I'm pointing to myself. There's something about desperation that helps our confidence, at least where we put our confidence. When things become a little too comfortable for us, we can forget God. The now what of this passage is to remind ourselves to stay desperate in prayer, especially when our circumstances are comfortable. It's in these moments that we want to press into God in fresh ways so that we don't do the Israeli drift and the people of God wandering, but that we would remain connected to our God. So Lord, here we are today. Once again, we're reminded that we're just the branches and you're the vine. And we will find our fruitfulness by tapping ourselves into you and following your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.